Inspire Eugene, episode 12.
Welcome to the Inspire Eugene podcast. Each week we showcase individuals with heartfelt and powerful messages to encourage you to take those first steps to unlock your very best work. Are you ready to get inspired? Here's your host, Brad McKinney.
Welcome to this episode of Inspire Eugene. I've got a great guest today, Kathleen Gage. She is a no-nonsense, common-sense online marketing strategist, speaker, author, product creation specialist, and owner of Power Up for Profits. She helps entrepreneurs make money online, and her clients are driven by making a difference through their own unique voice. Kathleen is the host of Power Up for Profits podcast and the author of the book, Power Up for Profits, The Smart Woman's Guide to Online Marketing. And this book's a favorite of authors around the globe. Welcome to Inspire Eugene, Kathleen. And how are you today?
Brad, it is great to be here. And I have to tell you, today I am amazing because we've got beautiful weather. The rain has disappeared. So life is good.
Perfect. Yes, it is as nice and hot outside and ready for a swim for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, could you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and then a little bit more about what your business is?
You bet. I have been in business for 20 years. July marks the 20th year of my company, which the official name is Turning Point Inc., and it's gone through a few recreations. And over the years, I went from being a corporate trainer. I had left a corporate environment when I was in Utah and started doing corporate training. That evolved into working with government agencies, municipalities, the military, and then that evolved into working with mid-sized companies down to small size. And it was all by choice. It was really interesting how as I grew in my business, I found really where my sweet spot was, and evolved now into working primarily with solo entrepreneurs, and my client base is all over the globe. Grew up in the Bay Area, well, South Bay Area of California. I just celebrated my 60th birthday, so I'm no spring chicken. But, you know, and it's hard to believe that. I look at my driver's license and say, it can't be true. But I love being an entrepreneur because it gives me a lot of freedom. And it's so interesting. I was at a barbecue the other day, and there were a group of women talking, and they were talking about the inequity of wages between men and women. And I said, you know, the simple solution to that is start your own business. It's really quite simple. And yet a lot of people have a fear of jumping in and really having that much control over their life. But in a nutshell, my business primarily works with entrepreneurs who want to get a great presence online and off. I work with some brick and mortar businesses, but primarily people who are internet based. And I teach them strategies on how to get a lot of visibility.
That's great. I know I work with another podcast, and we talk about creating your own economy, and it's kind of what you're talking about. If you're stuck in that 9-to-5 job, the only way out towards freedom is that, you know, that ability to have the power over what you create and what you bring in. So I definitely resonate with what you're talking about.
Well, most definitely.
I get a lot of inspiration from other people's words, so I'd like to also have you kind of kick us off here with your the quote that's most inspired you in your life.
You know, there's a few, but one that really sticks out would be, with risk comes reward. And I think I first heard that in a Tony Robbins training, and it was just about when you're willing to take risks, you get to enjoy the rewards. And it's always amusing to me how people will look at somebody who has succeeded and they say, oh, you're so lucky. I did an event not long ago. It was a three-day event, and we did quite well. It was a six-figure event. And I had people saying, oh, you're so lucky that, you know, it just kind of dropped in your lap. And it's like, well, you didn't look at the tens of thousands of dollars that I invested in putting that event together. So it's really about, to me, looking at the risks you want to take in order to get the results that you want or the rewards that you want. And it's calculated risks. It's not, you know, I'm going to jump off of a bridge without a parachute or a bungee cord or something. It's about, in business, looking at the fact that if you want to play big, you have to be willing to put a lot out there.
Absolutely. I think as entrepreneurs, when you do risk more, you should get more, right?
If you risk in the right way, you know, there's a number of factors involved, because I know a lot of people that they take risks that they really haven't evaluated what they're doing, and they're just constantly chasing after what I call the BSOS, the bright shiny object syndrome. And it's really looking at, okay, where are you putting your attention? How are you organizing your day? One of the things that I teach people is use that first part of the day, if it's your most productive time, to monetize your business. Now, some people, they're more productive in the afternoon, but myself, that early morning time where there's no disturbances, if I can take an hour to really do something that's going to bring money into my business, whether it's work on a book or work on a product line or put together a sales letter, that's going to be a very profitable proposition for me rather than going into my emails or going on Facebook. So really your risks that you take have to be calculated risks.
Absolutely. I find those twilight hours, both in the evening and early morning, seem to be the most productive time, because you can get so much done without the phone ringing or other, people calling or emailing.
Absolutely.
All those distractions are a killer when you're trying to create something to benefit your business or your marketing,
right,
or any of that stuff. Awesome. So you were a trainer for many, many years, and then it morphed into you owning your own business. Can you tell us the story, the moment where it went from, I really like training people in this environment, but now I'm going to work, for myself and do this for my clients?
Yeah, there's actually a few times, Brad, that I really had that aha, and yet it took a boss that really blocked my creativity for me to say, I can't do this anymore. I was working for GTE Health Systems. And Tony Robbins has had a big impact on my thinking and just the direction I've taken my life. And I remember going through a Tony Robbins training at that time, and one of the things, I may have made this up, but I seem to recall him saying, when you start your day with a really positive, just a positive affirmation of some sort, it's going to be a great day. So I would answer the phone, it's a great day at GTE, this is Kathleen. And I had this boss who said, you can't do that, that's not professional. And I thought, why can't I do it? And he was kind of a sourpuss.
Wow.
And there were just things that he would do that would block my ability to be who I was. And there were a couple of circumstances that took place. Actually, it was when I just turned 40, I had a threat with breast cancer, and then right after that, I had a threat of a heart attack. They thought I had a heart attack at the age of 40, and my dad was 41 when he had his first one, so it wasn't too far-fetched. And in both those situations, I looked at it and I said, if I only had a short time to live, would I be doing what I'm doing right now? And the answer was absolutely not. I would be making a bigger impact on the world in what my perception was at that time of making a bigger impact. And so it was through those circumstances that I decided to take the leap of faith and start my business. And fortunately, life kind of protected me in this, because I started with very little business savvy, and I started in a way that I completely advise against for most entrepreneurs, which is just take that leap of faith and go out and make it happen. But sometimes I think with entrepreneurs, that's what we need to do, is just go out and forge a path for ourselves. But one of the greatest changes that happened in my business was when I started hiring mentors. I used to think I could do it all on my own, and I was too prideful to ask for help. And when I wasn't willing to ask for help, my business suffered as a result of that.
I agree with you. Back earlier, my very first podcast was terrible. It was terrible. I called it Leadership Figured Out, and I thought I knew what people should do. And I was very, very young, out of college, thought people would want to listen to what I had to say. But really, if I would have just taken the time and understood, what the world wanted, rather than just kind of creating it myself, it would have been 10 times better. And if I would have hired someone to do the logo and the design of the website, but no, I thought I had more time than money.
Yeah.
So I kind of cobbled something together, and it looked terrible. The sound was terrible, but it really kicked me off into that, the unknown of podcasting. I think that was my, I started, but that one definitely was a failed attempt. But I get what you're saying. You know, when we have people help us, we can create something that's just so much bigger than what we can do by ourselves.
For sure. And it's so funny when you mentioned how ugly the logo was. I look back on some of my early marketing material and I'm like, really? What was I thinking? Was I on drugs or what? I mean, it's just like ugly. And, yeah. And you know, like a trifold brochure and with the typeface that's off center and just crazy stuff. But, you know, that's how we learn and grow. And what I really suggest to people is to look at the return that you want in your business. And if you, a great example would be the people that are saying that people won't pay them for their knowledge. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not willing to pay for it, why should people pay you? And it was when I was willing to put a lot of money on the table for the best mentors in the world that my revenues went up, because I had more of a right to ask for the money than if I wasn't investing in my own business.
Absolutely. So did you go through a process to figure out what it is that you wanted your business to be?
You know, it has evolved. And as the economy would take dips and turns, I would have to get pretty creative. One of the greatest changes happened in 2001 after 9/11, where at that time my business was primarily corporate training. And I was doing some consulting, and after 9/11, the industry tanked, where a lot of conferences were canceled. They didn't want executives flying on planes to conferences. And so that was a real reinvention period for me, and it was really at that time I started creating information products. I had a lot of people coming to me saying, well, how do I do this kind of marketing and that kind of marketing? And I thought, you know, rather than give it away, why don't I package my information and sell it to as many people who want to buy it? And the first time I offered it, I put on a free presentation. This was in Salt Lake City. I invited anybody and everybody who wanted to show up. I had about 50 people, and I had 25 packages of a multimedia program that the bonus to go with that was a one full day training with me. And I sold all 25 for $299, and I was like, wow, that's – so I made like $7,000.
Wow.
And I was like, that was pretty nice.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So I tried it again and had the same result. And now it's not uncommon for me to have, you know, just much greater revenues in the products that I put to market. I've had some that have done well over six figures, and a lot of it is just the growth that my business has gone through. But it has evolved. And many times the change that a business will go through is when there's a change in the economy or a change in the market, and entrepreneurs have to be flexible. For people to say, well, you know, I invested so much time and energy in this thing, whatever the thing is, and they're not willing to let go of that and move on to something else when it's appropriate, they're going to fail.
I agree. Now, have you, I just, my outside looking in from the industry, I've watched it go from, sell everything online and you could make a pretty good profit on that to webinars and podcasts. And now I think I'm seeing in a lot of different areas where people are trying to take their online marketing business to seminars and things like that, in which you're doing right now. Or are you seeing that trend moving forward?
Yes, I am. And actually, how I the evolution of my online presence was when I moved from Utah to Eugene about 8 years ago. I had a real nice market share in Salt Lake City. I was very well positioned. I had been there in the business community for about 10 years by that point, maybe even a little longer. And so it was really easy for me to create opportunities in Salt Lake. Well, I move up here and I couldn't get business to save my life. And it's like, oh shoot, you know, just bought a mini ranch and, you know, we've got a bigger mortgage. What are we going to do? And that's when I decided to go deeper into the internet. And fortunately, I heeded that warning to my business. Because a few years ago, my dad got sick, and he actually was diagnosed with lung and brain cancer, passed away 4 weeks later, and I became my mother's caretaker. And it was out of necessity that I went 100% internet-based and information product-based. And prior to that, I had just started doing teleseminars and webinars. After I went through the grieving period of losing my mom, I got back into teleseminars and webinars, and then I realized that there was a whole a whole bunch of opportunity by doing live presentations. And I held a two-day event, and we did quite well with that. Then I went to a three-day event. We did quite well with that. And I've done a few three-day events. Now I'm working on a three-day retreat. And what's interesting is with the podcasting I'm doing, I don't directly monetize it, but I've had indirect opportunities. I had a woman call me the other day who's very interested in a program I have that's a $2,500 program. And I said, well, how did you hear about me? And she goes, from your podcast show. And it's like, oh, okay. So, you know, a lot of times we can get indirect results from what we do. But for me, I evolve as the need arises to evolve.
Nice. Now, what do you think, and when you're working with a client or, you know, someone just on your podcast or interviewing them, what do you think the biggest mistakes most people make when they're marketing themselves and their businesses?
They're marketing themselves. I think the biggest challenge is for somebody who has no clue what they're doing to nickel and dime themselves on it, and they try to cut corners rather than investing a percentage of their revenues back into their business and really learning what's effective for their particular industry. Because for some people, it might be teleseminars. For other people, it might be webinars. For some people, you have to do Facebook advertising. For other people, you have no business being on Facebook with your business. So I would say the greatest mistake is not having the right knowledge or, again, chasing after the bright, shiny objects. Oh, you know, this is the latest and greatest thing. You have to do this. So they run off in that direction. And then they hear of something else. They run off in that direction. And we truly do have the onset of adult ADHD. It has been a proven fact that the way our brain is recircuiting itself as a result of all the distractions that we have, it's really hard to stay focused. So I would say part of that mistake is that people don't stay focused on one thing long enough.
Absolutely. I think, I don't know if you know, but I'm a counselor with SCORE, and SCORE is the unlimited business counseling through the Small Business Administration. And I meet with a lot of folks that spend a hefty amount of money every month for SEO, for this type of advertising and that type of advertising, or print and radio and TV and all these things. And it's just kind of a shotgun approach to marketing their business rather than understanding where their customer is and then market them right there. And I spend a lot of time with that strategy of, let's just forget about everything that you've done and let's just talk about, where does your customer hang out? And then how can you market in those particular areas? And I definitely agree with what you're saying, is that shotgun approach just doesn't work anymore. You're going to be able to scale your business very well by, you know, marketing everywhere. You really got to be focused.
And you're so correct on that. And one of the things that I offer my high-end clients is they come in for a VIP day, regardless of where they are in the world. They fly into Eugene, and they're always amazed at what a great airport it is. And then they're driving through the area, and it's like, because I'm actually out in Pleasant Hill, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But what we do is we spend a day together going through all of their stuff in their business, of where they've been, where they want to go, and then we just put everything on the table, and I put a blueprint together for them. And I have one client that just sent me a testimonial, and she said as a result of following the blueprint step by step, she went from having no revenues in her business for the division we were working on to where she can document six figures in about 7 months. And it's like, oh, this is great. This is great. But she followed the formula. And then you get people that you give them a formula, and they start following it, but they get bored. And so I would say another big mistake is people get bored with what they're doing. And
absolutely,
that can be a real red flag to your business.
Absolutely. So what's been the biggest challenge that you faced in your business, and what lessons did you learn from it?
You know, the greatest challenge I faced was when I care took my mom. I have to say that was one of the most difficult and yet one of the most rewarding times in my business and in my life. And what I learned from that is it's really important to have your systems in place. It's really important to have sustainable revenue, because had I not set my business up in the way that it was, I couldn't have been there for my mom. And I have no regrets. Now that she has passed on, I look back and I say, you know, I really answered the call. And I think for me, it's always remembering that the freedom that I had during that time and that I have today as a result of having systems in place, you can't replace that. It's like there's nothing that can hold a candle to that. So what I'm very passionate about with my clients is really helping them to get set up in a way that if they want to take time off, they can do that. If they want to answer a personal calling, they can do that. But it really was, at times I would wake up in the morning after a long night with my mom at the hospital or whatever it may be and think, I can't do this one more day. And what I learned was, when I'm in service, then everything works out, even though it may not be easy. See, that's the distinction is, mm-hmm. a lot of times you can say, okay, I was able to do X, Y, and Z, and people say, well, that was easy. And it's like, no, it was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life, and yet it was the most important thing for me to do.
Absolutely. Well, I am so glad to hear that you got to spend time with your mom, and it sounds like, and your dad before they passed away. And that's
yes,
very
I
important.
Did.
And
I
it's
did.
Awesome that you've been able to create that in your business to be able to do that. I know I've had some family members pass away recently, and I wasn't able to take off and just spend those important days before. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know later on in life it's going to be a regret. And, you know, I think that also helps me, you know, understand that my parents aren't getting any younger either. So I need to make sure that I position myself just like, you know, you're talking about right now.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you have going on right now for the future that excites you?
Oh, wow. The fact I wake up alive every day, that's a good start for the day.
Absolutely.
But quite seriously, I'm working on a retreat. It's going to be a 15-person retreat, and it's on how to gain massive visibility to put six figures into your business, and primarily for the solo entrepreneurs. And that's coming up in November. I'm hosting it in Portland, Oregon. And it's really exciting because it's going to be a very intimate group of people, and these are people that are committed to the success of their business. There's a substantial investment that they're going to be making, not only of time, but money and travel. So that's one thing I'm really excited about, and I'm working on my memoir right now. I've been working on that for a while, but I'm recommitted to that, to put that book out to market. But those would be two of the things that I'm pretty excited about.
Awesome. Well, I know I get a lot of inspiration from reading books. Avid reader, love to hear the thoughts of other people. And I just want to know, what's the book that you've read that's most inspired you?
If I had to pick one book out of all that I've read that really has inspired me, it's a book called The Magic of Believing, and it's by an author. His name is Claude Bristol. It was written in 1948, and I actually found that book when I was going through a very difficult time in my life. I was in my 20s, and so it was many, many years ago I found this, and I actually at one point, through bad decisions, ended up on the streets, and I didn't have a roof over my head. I was unemployable, and today I'm unemployable in a different way, but at that time it was just really bad choices in life, and that book sparked something inside of me that I was responsible for where I ended up in life, and if I made the decisions to get me where I had gotten, I could make different decisions to get me to a different place. And I look at my life today by being sparked by that one book, and it's night and day from where I was. So I would say, out of any book, The Magic of Believing.
Wow, it's amazing how we find the right book or piece of information at the right time. It never ceases to amaze me.
As long as we're open to it. You know, it's amazing because I believe that what we need is always around us, but it's what we're focusing on as to whether or not we are aware of that.
Absolutely. So how about resources that you use in your business? What's your favorite gadget or online resource or even offline resource that you use?
You know,
every day?
My favorite gadget, it's the very first version that came out of the Kindle. I love my little Kindle. It's the little funky one that has no bells and whistles or anything, but I just love it. And I would say that's one of my favorite because I love to read. But if I was to pick a resource that I use in my business, I use instant teleseminars. I do quite a few teleseminars and interviews, and I find that to be a really fabulous resource for that.
Perfect. Well, the last question that I ask all my guests, if you were a superhero, what would be your superpower?
Wow. You know, if I was a superhero and my superpower would be the ability to help people find gratitude in their life. Because I just have a gift, it took me a long time to really recognize this, but when I see somebody that is struggling or somebody that they're just looking at life in a way that is not very resourceful, by asking a few simple questions, I can get them into a place of gratitude.
That would be an awesome superpower.
I love it. I love it. I really do.
Well, if somebody on here listening wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, thank you for asking, Brad. The best way would be to go to my website, powerupforprofits.com, and there you'll find a lot of great information. We've got some free gifts for people, and there's a link to my podcast show. I would encourage people to listen to that because I've got some amazing guests on my show. So thank you for asking.
Awesome. And I'll have that link in the show notes. And can they find out about your retreat there as well? Or is that thing all booked up right now?
Actually, they can email me about the retreat because I'm keeping that actually kind of quiet, and it's by invitation only. But if they want to find out more, they can email me at Kathleen@KathleenGage.com, or they can call me at 541-746-5551.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate your time today, Kathleen, and you and everyone listening, have a great and inspired day.
Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's Inspire Eugene podcast interview. We are committed to bringing you great content each and every week. Please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and spread the word by sharing our page on Facebook. Have an inspired day, and we will see you next time.